Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the Isaiah 58:12 podcast. My name is Harold Weikert, and I'm your host. And I just want to remind you of the scripture 58:12 in Isaiah. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and for this time to come together and just to be with you, Lord. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this time to guide us and to teach us all things. And Lord, I pray that you would set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, I'm excited to be back here because I've been promising you for a long time to be taking a look at Leviathan. And we started that yesterday with the first episode. We're going to continue today. We're looking at to understand who Leviathan is and why does he concern you and me. And yesterday we spent a lot of time in talking about the spiritual world and this world of flesh and blood, and why the spiritual world is so important. And we started off with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, that tells us that the battle that you and I are going through, we experience something here in this realm on earth, but that's not where the battle is. The battle is in the spiritual realm. It's in the heavens. And it's really not ours, but it's the Lord's. So we have to understand it. We got to do our part, but we got to stay out of the way too, and not getting interfering with what the Lord is doing. We're talking about the breach, and that's the whole basis of this show, and that is to take a look at where the enemy has breached the things of God. And the first breach that ever happened is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. Surely you will not die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, right there, Satan is appealing to Eve's ego and her pride, because now she wants to be just like God. And you know, we were born and created with that in us, with that pride and that ego. And then we took a look at, let's see here, A.W. Tozer, when he talks about the spiritual aspect of our lives and in a church. And he says, we may as well face it in the book, The Pursuit of God. The whole level of spirituality among us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateau and things of the spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord, and produced a cheap and synthetic power to substitute for the power of the Holy Ghost. Then we read from Francis Chan, Forgotten God, I am convinced there is a desperate need in the church for the Holy Spirit of God to be given room to have his way. I think we can agree that there is a problem in our churches, that something is wrong. He goes on to say that most people do not connect what is missing or wrong with a particular need for the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to pick up on the idea of Leviathan and pride. And there was a talented and gifted young lady And everything she did, she looked around to see who was noticing her. She did things to be sure she was noticed. So how was she being led? By the Holy Spirit or by pride? We can do the right thing, but from the wrong place. I was the third child in my family, and in the family sculpture system, the third child is considered to be the lost child. So I had to fight to be noticed, and the things I did to be noticed. Now, some of those things may have been good, but from the wrong place. I know I am moving in pride if I am concerned about the payoff for me. Matthew 7:22-23 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, right there is a prime example of wanting to be noticed. And these people came up and said, "Lord, Lord." Now, they did everything that they were, that God calls a born-again, spirit-filled Christian to do, but they didn't do it for the glory of God. They did it for their glory. They did it for their reward. Now, it was after a time of ministry, and we were preparing to leave. The team leader was talking to some counselee, and I heard her mention the spirit of Leviathan. Now, I had never heard of it before, so a few days later, the Lord brought it back to my memory, and I looked it up. I had no idea what was about to happen, but it has been life-changing for me. I prayed and took authority over Leviathan, and the Holy Spirit set me free of the bondages of Leviathan. Now, when you hear somebody talk about being set free, that doesn't mean it's a one and done, because this has been several years ago, and I got to battle it every single day. Because you see, the enemy doesn't mess with you as long as you belong to him. But as long as he starts to lose control over you, that's when he's going to pay attention, and he's going to come back and regain control. So I've been fighting this for, you know, every day of my life. The principality of Leviathan, I believe, is the root of all sin. And some believe it to be the gatekeeper to hell. Let's go to the Word and get the truth on Leviathan to see about how he is made, his mission, his target, and how he affects you and me on a daily basis. How has he infiltrated the church today? And then we're going to take a look at the seven heads of Leviathan. First, we need to understand who Leviathan is. Leviathan is a principality, not a spirit. The difference between a spirit and a principality is this. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Here the writer declares the warfare in which we are engaged as we battle throughout our lives, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. These principalities are ruling devil spirits, having executive authority or governmental rule in the world. This ruling power usually involves a particular nation, people, or race. Now, there are evil angels ruling the kingdoms of the world that oppose the truth of God, and of which Satan is the chief prince or ruler of both the world system and its organization of demons. The American Heritage Dictionary defines principalities as this: a territory ruled by a prince or from which a prince derives his title. the position, authority, or justification of a prince or sovereignty. Now hear this. Our fight is not of this world, of flesh and blood, but it's in the heavenly realms. So, we should take heed and be aware of the things of the Spirit. In verse 13 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Therefore," meaning because of that fact, arm yourself with the spiritual armor of God. And at some point, we're going to be taking a look at the armor of God and breaking that down. Having been saved, we must continue to struggle to do good things in light of the sure victory promised in Romans 8. We're not condemned. We are set free from death. We are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead gives life to our mortal bodies. We are adopted by our Abba Father, heirs of God with Christ, glorified with Christ. We have victory in Christ. It is though we are facing an army of dark powers who have been disarmed of their power and against whom we have been given promised victory. It is our job to depend upon the wisdom and the power of God in defeating principalities in our lives. We can do this by trusting in God's victory. The idea of prince devil spirits ruling or controlling a region is supported in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Chapter 10, Daniel was visited by an angel in response to his prayer to God. The angel who was sent by God to answer Daniel's prayer was delayed for 21 days because of the battle that took place. It took place between God's angel and a prince of the kingdom of Persia. And Daniel says, Daniel reveals the angel's message in the following verse. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. "Then said he to me, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I am come in response to your words.' But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. I pray, but I don't get any answer." How many times have we been in this position and think that God has not heard us? The word tells us in Isaiah 65, 24, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Our prayers are answered before we even ask. The one mistake we make as Christians is that we underestimate the power of Satan and his legions. The angel of Daniel had to have an archangel come to assist him in defeating the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Our prayers are answered, but sometimes there is a battle for them to get to us. Spirit is the innermost part of a man. And we're going to be taking a look at this a little bit deeper in our next episode. And it's been such a great pleasure to be with you today. And I pray that this is starting to help you understand what's really going on when you turn on the TV and look at all this stuff that's going on in the world today. This is all satanic. This is all spiritual. And it's nothing that a politician can solve. We need to have God back in our society. And in our lives. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we ask you to be present in our lives, Lord, to forgive this nation of our sins against you, and Lord, that we ask for you to stand firm against our enemies Stretch out that mighty hand of yours, that big and great and beautiful hand, and seal off our enemies from us, Lord. Forgive us, Father. Revive us, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everybody.